Well, this is exciting for me to have a privilege to share with you thoughts on conviction. I have to admit I wrestle with this quite a bit. The term conviction, as we use it, is not found in the Scripture. That never helps me with a workshop or with a message. So I'd like to cover a brief definition, maybe give you an illustration that will help you to at least follow my thinking as we talk about convictions. And then I'd like to give you a little bit of help in how to evaluate your conviction to see if it's accurate. And then I'd like to discuss a means by which you can develop conviction in a certain area. And then I'll turn the thing loose and let you do that with, say, something like Scripture memory. In terms of defining conviction as we use it, has been the thought of just being convinced. I'm convinced. I didn't particularly care for Webster's definition. If you want to just kind of put conviction dash convinced, you'll be as far along as I am. And you can develop your own definition as you give more thought to it. Let me ask you to turn to Job chapter 23. How many of you have memorized verse 10 out of chapter 23? How many of you are memorizing? I've memorized two or three verses out of this chapter. And one day in my quiet time, God put them all together for me and blessed my soul in such a way that I've never forgotten it. The teaching that's found in this passage. You're familiar with Job. He's sitting here scraping boils. He's kind of lost everything he's had. It's just kind of, you know, to walk by, it's kind of a mess. Even his Christian buddies, his team members, or whatever you want to call it, came in and kind of picked on him. Told him, well, you know, you've sinned against God. And then they tried to explain what God was doing in Job's life. And Job didn't understand it. He could not say that he knew exactly what God was doing in his life. That's what verse 10 says. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. What Job is saying by that is that, man, you're coming in and you're telling me all that's going on, but let me just say this. I do not have it all figured out, but one of these days you'll come to my home and walk in and you'll find a little gold nugget here. You're going to find a guy just like solid gold. God will change me. That was his conviction, that he did not know the direction of his life, what was happening, but that God did, and God was going to change him into, spiritually speaking, a little gold nugget. Now let's look at the story. Job is answering his friends and he says, then Job answered and said, verse 1, even today is my complaint bitter and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. What Job is saying is that, you know, if I could find God, if I could just come before him, I know the living God well enough to know that he would not rebuke me, but he would strengthen me, and he would encourage me, and he would explain what's going on in my life. If I could find him, that's what God would do for me. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Gang, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you've longed to lay hold of God so that God would explain what he's doing to you. and can't find him. Can't find him. You know, I cannot lay hold of God. I try, I go to the left hand, I go to the right, I find out there's a great work of God going on over here, and I go over there to find out, and I can't find God. I cannot lay hold of the living God. I do not get that sense of His presence. And it's in that context that He says, verse 10, "But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's conviction. He's convinced. And it's been checked to see if he really believes it. All his experience is against it. And his friends come in and say, "You can't find God because you're in sin. God's mad at you." Job sits there and says, "He's going to turn me into a gold nugget. He's refining me. He's making me a better man. What's your proof?" "I don't have any proof. I just know God." "Well, what, you know, can you lay hold of Him?" "No, I can't lay hold of Him. But I'm convinced." Now fasten your seatbelt. You ready? You want to know where he got this conviction? You want to know why he could say that? "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And he looks his buddies in the eye and he says, "I've played it by the book. God gave me an operational manual for my life, and I've built my life on it. And though I cannot right now lay hold of the living God in my experience, I want you to know that I have followed the Scripture. I have followed the book. And I can tell you what the outcome of following the book is. The living God will transform me, spiritually speaking, into a gold nugget." Isn't that exciting? Isn't that thrilling? So let me say this, that conviction, to be accurate, should be anchored in the Scriptures. And the illustration that I've thought of is an illustration of a tree. Our roots go down in the Word, and it takes experience and time, as it were, to put meat on the conviction. Our convictions are tested and proven and become manifest because of the weather beating at it. But gang, it needs to be anchored in the Scripture. And as I've thought about this, most of our convictions are not. Most of our convictions are survival convictions. I see all that's going on out here, and in order to survive, I decide, well, I'll have to believe this in order to live with these people. And we react. And our convictions are not built in the Scripture. Well, how do you evaluate conviction? You have some forms there. Look at the one that has topic, date, personal conviction. Write in the topic, Scripture memory. There's nothing sacred about this. All I was trying to do was come up with something that might help us work through some thoughts on conviction. You know, change it, throw it away. But do something with it. Think about it. And work through it and kind of develop your own means of evaluating your convictions. Okay, topic is Scripture memory. And what I'd like for you to do is to take a minute now and just write down what your personal conviction is about Scripture memory. Now don't just write down, you know, "I believe in it." But write down, what do you believe about Scripture memory? Do you feel like, that it ought, you know, for instance, do you feel like there's a certain time in the day when it ought to be memorized? Do you feel like that there are a certain number of verses you ought to memorize? Do you feel like that that you ought to memorize passages and not isolated verses. Just whatever you feel, whatever your conviction is about Scripture memory, what I'd like for you to do is to write it in there. Let's kind of work it together, because there are some verses that I would like all of us to have in there. It says Scripture or passages. And what I'd like to do is have six passages of Scripture that deal with Scripture memory. Okay, so what we want is the best passages we can think of on Scripture memory. All right, okay? Psalm 119, 9-11. Okay, how about another one? Jeremiah 15, 16. Okay? Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. What is that? That's 3, isn't it? Kurt? Psalm 119, 103. Okay, now watch what you're doing now. Are we dealing with Scripture memory, or are we just dealing with the Word? So what we want are the best passages on Scripture memory. What do we have? 4? All right. Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. One more. Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. And I want to give you the next one. Proverbs 22, 17 through 21. Now that was the next one. You know, the next guy I called on was going to give me that one. But I'm sorry, I just want to make sure. And there's no room for this one, but I want it in there because I want us to think about it a minute. And that's Matthew 4, 4. All right, now what illustrations can you think of, or examples can you think of from the Scripture, either positive or negative, on Scripture memory? He's using Jeremiah 20, verse 9, where Jeremiah was just kind of fed up. Every time he tried to do something for God, it ended up, as far as he personally was concerned, almost a bag of worms. They were ready to kill him. And so he was just thinking about quitting, but he couldn't quit because the Word of God was in his heart. And he just couldn't pitch in a towel. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Good illustration. All right. She mentioned that Satan knew the Scripture and quoted it in Matthew 4, 6. And you can use that as a negative illustration. Okay, the illustration of Stephen and how that he used the Word of God in the lives of his opponents in Acts 6 and 7. Now, listen, let's cut that off. That gives us enough of them. And I'm not quite ready for you to fill in that new conviction down there. But you get an idea of how to go about thinking through on your conviction. It's good to write it down where I am. And then we said that a conviction should be built on the Word. So therefore, your next step is to come up with Scripture and examples and illustrations from Scripture. And then on the basis of studying those passages, we come up with our new conviction. And let me encourage you to separate application from conviction. Gang, the Scripture is very clear on Scripture memory. We are to memorize. The application of that is, the little verse cards, the little packs, the TMS. One is valid and is commanded, and we're to obey it. The other is just a means to an end. It's a method. Now, we may be sold on the method, but in our thinking, we ought to have them separated. We ought to know what the Scripture has to say about it and follow it and recognize the other as a means or as a method of carrying that out. And again, let me say that you feel free to change it, to, you know, throw it out. But do at least take the idea and toy with it and work with it to see if some modification of this will meet your need in building conviction. Put out beside topic, put scripture memory. And again, yet let's use today's date. And the first section is scripture. What I'd like for you to do is to take those references from the other sheet and write them one in each block. You should have, what do we have? It's six references, didn't we? Eight. Did we? Well, don't scratch the last two. Scratch the last one. I want Proverbs 22 in there. When I originally began to do this, what I did is in my quiet time or in my Bible study, I had a notebook and I had it using little alphabet tabs where you have the A, B, C. So using the alphabet, then behind the A, I'd have attitudes, attributes of God. So everything that topically that I was doing, I had in that little notebook. And when I ran across a reference that I thought was, or a passage of Scripture that I thought was key on a particular topic, I would throw open that notebook and jot it down and jot down the key thought to it. And then later, whenever I was going to do something topically, then I'd just go back to the notebook, dig it out, and start working through it. And I had, what I had is I had my ammunition. Now I knew where to go, where to be thinking. And gang, in all of life, the solutions, the direction we need, is found in the Scripture. The Bible is our book. It, often, you know, the devil will come in and quote it, but it's my book. I will never be afraid of it. The Bible was written to Christians. It is not written to non-Christians. It is the operational manual for my life. And I maintain that it's unfair of God to put me through anything that is not covered in the Scripture. He teaches me in the Scripture how to respond to everything in life. And my biggest problem is a problem of ignorance. And if you run your life on counsel, if you run your life by, you know, taking classes on some topic, you'll never really run a stable life with real conviction, with real assurance. You'll never be sure. You'll never be convinced. And Paul covers that in Corinthians. He says, you know, your life, your faith does not rest in the wisdom of men. Because if you're talked in to what you believe by some navigator at a conference or at a workshop, you know, all the enemy does is bring in somebody smarter than that navigator, and he talks you right out of it. Isn't that right? So we build our lives on the Scripture. We build our convictions on the Scripture. And you know yourself, you've already experienced it, unless you're in the wrong workshop or the wrong section. Times when you thought, you know, I'd really like to get before God and iron this thing out. I would like a word from God on this. That's what we're talking about. So a long time ago, I set up that little notebook to begin to put things in categories. And the reason for the form is that I think it'll make it simpler for us to work through it today. So if it doesn't work, fine, set you up a notebook and reference key thought. Okay, what are we working through? Psalm 119, wasn't that the first one? 9 and 11. Do those verses help us with a definition of Scripture memory? Treasuring the Word in heart. What translation is that, Fred? New American Standard. Does that help us with a definition? Yeah, I think so. Don't you? Are you with me? I think it kind of helps us. Whatever Scripture memory is, it involves treasuring the Word in our heart. Now, we may have to define some of those terms. But I would say that this reference fits under definition. So just make a little note there in that little block. What part of this verse deals with definition? And what you feel it's saying Scripture memory is. What we're wanting to do is to define what the Bible says Scripture memory is. Now, it may be possible for us to memorize something from our definition of what memory is. For instance, if you go to school, you memorize certain facts for tests. Well, what the Bible says is that's not what we're talking about, unless what you're wanting to say by test is that life itself is a test. Okay? So what I'm doing is I'm treasuring up the Word of God in my heart for life. Because life is going to put me to the test. And I want to pass. Is that right? So what all you're doing with that is strengthening what you already think about Scripture memory. Did everyone follow that? You follow his question? His question was, isn't it possible to memorize and yet not treasure it up in our heart? And one of the things that this reference would teach you is that it's possible, but it's not what the Bible says Scripture memory is. We're going to correct our view of Scripture memory. Maybe. So all you're doing is building your definition. Okay, so the next verse, in other words, you may use it, not just six references, but you may use 10. And in that, by the time you get through, you ought to have a definition. A biblical definition of what Scripture memory is. And if you feel that that's what it's saying there, well then write it in. But just be ready, when you put the verses together, to change whatever you've written in. You may find a verse that will appear to contradict that. And by the time you get through wrestling with that, we trust that you'll come up with a definition that Scripture has for Scripture memory. All right? Are there any illustrations here? All right, he tucked it away in a safe place. Maybe we're working too hard on this. I normally, when I go through it, I don't go through it in that much detail. So you're doing more meditating now than I normally do when I'm working through one of these. But that's fine. That's an illustration of we want to make sure we hide it in a safe place. And that's what the psalmist did. That's a fact. See, okay, it illustrates what the psalmist was doing in his own life. Now, the psalmist is giving us an illustration out of his own life. A good cross-reference for this topic, by the way, is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Where the whole warfare takes place in the mind. And decisions are made there. So therefore, we load the thing up with the word, and fill the computer, stack it in our favor with the right information. Okay, how about purpose? Is there any indication in these verses that would tell us why we should memorize? Purity of life, to keep from sinning against God. You can say that any way you want, just jot it in there. Are there any results given in these verses? Yeah, it's not dogmatic. All he's giving is, I memorize so I don't sin. It does not say, I memorize, therefore I will not sin. Be careful there. What I'd like for you to do is take those the other references I gave you, and I'd like for you to start with Proverbs 22:17 through 21, and work down through this, these sections again, and just jot down what you find. And all you want is just a little guide. If you see it there, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Don't, you know, try to cram it into this little deal here. The scripture's right, this one's not. All this is just a little, you know, guide that might help. Let me say that you will probably not find illustrations in the Old Testament. You will find examples. So just relax and look for examples. If you don't find one, you don't find one. Several of you asked about purpose and result. A purpose is why I do it. A result is an automatic conclusion. Let me illustrate that. In John 15:5, the Lord says, if you abide in me, you will bring forth fruit. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. There's no way you get it. You abide, fruit. Abide, you know, they go together. That is a result. A purpose is why I do it. And again, don't strain. Just relax, and you know, if it's there. See, the principle is stated in verse 9. The psalmist realizes that by obeying the Word of God, by taking heed to the Word of God, he will be able to stay out of sin in the future. His application of that principle is, since that is true, I think I'll memorize some verses. I'll hide it away on my heart. Then it's always available. So that, and you go back to verse 9, so that I do not sin against God. His purpose is to not sin against God. You cannot say, if I memorize the word, I will not sin against God. You can't do that. It's not there. See, we grabbed it and strained at it. All right? Some of you aren't decided yet. Huh? Just a little sideline, gang. The reason people have so much trouble with scripture memory is because it's for tomorrow. Now, you don't reap the bennies of scripture memory today. You don't get it till next week, next year. And we just, you know, very few of us really like to work on next year. We're just trying to keep our head above today. Scripture memory could be an application of the principle in Jeremiah 15:16. In other words, because I believe Jeremiah 15:16, therefore I will memorize Scripture. Have you worked through Proverbs 22 yet? Okay, let's look at that for a minute, can we? And then you've got the references there. And remember, I don't want us to get sidetracked here and say, well, that was a workshop on Scripture memory. It's on convictions, and I hope that at least two things you'll walk away with. One is how to evaluate your conviction, and the other is how to develop conviction. And then, of course, understanding that our convictions should be anchored deep in the Word of God. Take Proverbs 22. What did you do? You see anything there in terms of definition that helps you with a definition of what scripture memory is?
Incline your ear.
Okay, what do you think that means? You know, often people wonder why they have trouble with scripture memory, You know, if they just understood that, it'd eliminate a lot of the frustration. And we don't stop long enough to really give full attention to it. Scripture memory is applying our mind to the Word of God, or the Word of God to our mind. Okay? Is there any reason for memorizing found in this passage? Does it tell us why we should memorize? All right, so that God can teach us. By the way, Psalm 119, verse 16, the psalmist makes a statement. He says, I will delight myself in the Word. Gang, you ever ask God to give you a delight for the Word? Well, here the psalmist says, I will delight myself. He takes full responsibility for enjoying the Word of God. And he talks to himself a lot. The psalmist does. He, you know, gets after himself when he's kind of discouraged, and he says, Saul, what are you downcast for? Get up! You know? Well, yeah, he does, you know. You read the psalm, he's always doing that. Well, here he says, Saul, delight in the Word. That's right. I wouldn't talk to yourself in a crowd, but, you know. Sometimes we just need to grab ourselves, you know, by the seat of the pants or by the nape of the neck and you know, say, do it. So that's a fact. Just pleasure in the Word of God. Excellent. Write, you know, underline that. Put it in red, please. I think that's one of the major reasons why I memorize Scripture. It's not for you. It's for me. It's not to witness. It's because I want to walk with a living God all the days of my pilgrimage here. Now, I don't think it's automatic, but I think that it, you know, it increases my chances. Okay? Now, Hebrews 5 is a cross-reference to that. Good point. You kind of get a feel for what it does for you. You take the Word, you begin to jot down some of these things. You can go through there and figure out now, what should be my motivation for Scripture memory? And it would change. You know, a lot of us, our initial motivation is, because if I don't, they're going to, you know, the guys are going to clean my plow. And I don't get to come to Bible study next week and, but when you start, all of these are valid reasons for Scripture memory. And down in our hearts, we cry out for it. None of the verses that we've looked at tell us how much we ought to memorize. Somebody breathed a sigh of relief. What was it? Yeah. But when 2 years go by and you haven't memorized, that's probably too slow. Okay, let me do something here, all right? Gang, one of the things I want us to do is build our convictions from the Scripture. See, somewhere down the line, we've got to get anchored in something solid. You know, the navigators, you know, we're all going to be gone someday. Boy, let's walk in the book. You know, what we want to do is just, you know, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And Paul said, that's a good deal. They went home and checked me out. Anchored in the Scripture. Let me review just a minute. Can I? What I hope you got out of this, besides the fact that you don't memorize anymore. Is that our convictions are anchored in the Word of God. That if we want to check what we believe, we check it against the Word of God. And you have a little form there that can help you do that. If you want to begin to develop or to work on some convictions in the future, you can take the other form And you can draw it up if you want to, or you can just take your blank piece of paper and have that sitting there close to your notebook and think through these topics and write it in. Day after day, week after week. Until you're beginning to build some passages of Scripture on which to base a conviction.